And on your outlines, by the way, if you open them, I'm keeping the list of the steps that we've previously gone through and that what we're on. So that way you can always have that for your memory. And so the very first one, if we remember, was we need to hear the call of God on our lives, not just from A to Z, but all the little steps in between. Because God has a voice, and we are capable of hearing it. And every time I share that in certain areas, I know some people have never heard that before. You all have, but we want to be reminded that God has a voice, and we're capable of hearing it. Number two, there's things that God's asking us to leave behind. Now, Ron, I happen to be a little bit of a basketball fan, too, and I have to give it up at certain times. And if you have to give it up, yes. Do you want to? Yeah. And if God opens that door, that's fine. It's a little thing. But you know what? The Bible says we have to be faithful in, come on, everybody say it again. We have to be faithful in the little things if we're going to be faithful in the big things. Come on, that's good preaching right there. We have to be faithful with the little things. And if that means not doing a certain little thing, then bless the Lord for that. Amen? Hallelujah. And then we have to make sure to avoid strife. We have to make sure to avoid being offended. Okay? There's a lot of offense going on the planet and next door neighbors to all the way around the world. So we got to remember to press beyond that offense. We have to make sure to stay away from strife. If we can avoid strife the way Abram did with his nephew Lot, God will bless us. He always blesses us if we avoid strife. Building an altar. Where do you build an altar? Say it again. Where you stand. There you go. I like it. Thank you, Mark. But I usually say anytime, anywhere, where you stand. So thank you. Hallelujah. We're learning, aren't we? Say anytime, anywhere. And where you stand. I like that. Thank you, Lord. So we're in the second of 2 weeks of understanding covenant of this journey of faith. And Hebrews 11:6, you know, there's some people that I've preached to that have never heard Hebrews 11:6. But it says, and it's two negatives, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what's it take to please God? Come on, say a little louder. Is this a Pentecostal church or not? Faith. With faith, it's possible to please God. You want to please God? You please God with faith. This is not hard English here. All right? So understanding covenant means that we're going to understand faith. Because Abram believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness long before the law was given. So the covenant that was cut with Abram is for us today to understand. And this is perfect timing. Because we're going to talk about the blood covenant out of Genesis 15. And here we are 5 days before Good Friday, where the new covenant was cut with the blood of the precious lamb that was without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Hallelujah. So, step number six, Abram believed God. And so we enter into covenant by faith. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written that the just shall live by faith. From faith, because faith is a new beginning. To faith, because faith is an expected end. What are your expectations in your life? And by faith means that we have faith in the middle between our start and our finish. When you believe for something and something happens and it's done, do you need any more faith for that? it's over, right? So you need new faith for the next thing you're believing God for, and so on and so on. Now, in James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and three times it says that exactly in the New Testament. Abraham believed God. Three times? Really? Isn't that kind of interesting? The Trinity sound there? Three. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Everyone say, the friend of God. Now, when you're talking about the friend of God, you're talking about, in parentheses, it's not on the big screen, it's on your outline, the covenant friend of God. There is no stronger binding agreement in the planet other than blood covenant. Nothing is stronger. And that's why when Jesus died on the cross, that blood covenant of the New Testament is the strongest binding relationship on the planet. Wrap your head around that, okay? Wrap your mind around that. And the three elements of James 2:23 is faith, which is the requirement for what? Salvation. We're saved by faith, by grace and faith. Righteousness, that means right standing with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. To him who knew no sin, became sin. He didn't take sin on him. He literally became sin on the cross. You got your mind wrapped around that? He wasn't clothed in it. He became. It says he became. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, he became that sin for us so that it could be crushed in the blood. Hallelujah. And then the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. We can't do anything in our own righteousness, only in the righteousness of God. So, moving on into Genesis chapter 15, we're going to talk about the three oaths. That you wouldn't want to say that word too many times. Get your tongue tied up. But we're going to say, we're going to go through this a little slow. So hang in there with us as we read it. And the three oaths that were cut with Abraham was loyalty, protection, and provision. And we'll go over those shortly. All right, so Genesis 15. Here we go. Hallelujah. Then he said to him, God said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Now remember, Abram was a heathen. And God spoke to him and said, Abram, you're going on a journey. Who are you? My name's God. Where are we going? I don't know. How are we going to get there? I don't know. Sarah, we're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. You know, can you imagine Sarah when Abram walked up to her and said, we're moving. We're picking up. And you know what the distance between Ur and Canaan is? 1,000 miles. Now, we don't think much of traveling 1,000 miles. That's like going to Chicago and back in 2 days. Big deal. But back then, that was a lot. Travel 1,000 miles. So, let's go back over Genesis 15, verse 8. And when God said, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur, and I will give you this land to inherit it. And then Abram said, Lord God, how shall I know? How shall I know that I'll inherit it? What is your guarantee, in other words? How are you going to guarantee me this land? How are you going to put your stamp of approval on it? That's where we come into blood covenant. There was no title of deed. There was no proof of insurance. There was nothing in this transfer of this wealth and land that was given to Abram other than the promise of the blood covenant. Next verse. So God said to Abram, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Verse 10. And he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two pieces down the middle, and he placed each piece opposite each other in a row, and he did not cut the birds in two. Verse 11. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell on him. And then God said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land. We're talking about Egypt here for a moment. And that it is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And the nation whom they serve I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. They left Egypt with all of Egypt's riches. Hallelujah. Now, as for you, transfer of wealth. There's a transfer of wealth from Egypt to the children of Israel. I'm getting chills up here. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Do we have a 16? Yeah. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass. Everyone said it came to pass. When the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the pieces of the cut heifer, of the cut ram, and the cut goat. All right, now, just stop for a second. Get this picture, church. You and I have about 5 quarts of blood. About right, Helen? 5 quarts, give or take? The heifer had 10 gallons. So there's 30 gallons of blood there. And then the ram's about the same. So you're talking about a lot of blood, okay? But God did it for an emphasis. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, there was a smoking oven and a burning torch. We're going to get to that in a few minutes, that passed between those pieces. Verse 18. And on the same day, the Lord said to Abram, made covenant with him. Now we want to eventually go back to this word, made covenant with him, saying, to your descendants I've given this land and to the river of Egypt and the great river Euphrates. And then it goes into all the Kenites, the Cabanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Malachites, the Mosquito Bites. A lot of bites. I've been waiting all week to say that. All right, so let's walk through this oath that they walked in. First of all, it was, by history tells us, that they just didn't walk back and forth through this corridor of blood. But what they did was they faced each other, and then they walked in a figure eight, back and forth. And they pledged loyalty. Loyalty for life. In other words, if I have to give my life for you, I will give my life for you. Okay, so they pledged loyalty to death. Okay? Where do we see that? You think, well, that's weird. No, it's not. They do it all the time when you're sitting in a foxhole. That soldier next to you would give his life for you and you for him, right? So it's not unusual, but that's a covenant. So loyalty, protection. You'd give your life to protect him, right? Psalm 91. Let me help me start it out. Come on. Psalm 91. How's it start? Help me! I just need one word. Huh? Thank you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I put my trust. We had that word earlier. Trust in God. Surely you'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Under your wings we'll be covered. And so on and so forth. The protection that comes because of blood covenant. And then the provision, even unto the exhaustion of personal resources. Now, Psalm 68, verse 19, I love this. It says, daily loads us with benefits. Look at this. Blessed be the Lord who once a month, who once a year. No, it says daily. Daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. And I think it goes, does it go on from there, Larry? Maybe not. But some of those benefits, I mean, good night, sure. Let's go on. But anyway, no, it doesn't. Thank you. Thank you for putting that up. So it's really interesting that Abram said, okay, God, you're going to give me this land, so prove it. How are you going to do it? He said, well, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do a blood covenant, the strongest binding agreement on the planet. And we will swear with each other. And that's what this smoking oven and burning torch was. When you think about clouds, what do you think about clouds in the scripture, especially this time in Egypt? What was the cloud? What did the cloud do during the day? Cloud by day. Yeah, saved him. Kept him from getting burned up to crisp. And then what happened at night? A pillar of fire to keep him from freezing. So here we have what God did for him in Egypt. The pillar of fire and the cloud by day. It's right there. It's the smoking oven and the burning torch. And what happened was that passed between those pieces of cut animals to say, this is what I'm giving to you. This is my pledge to you. Abram, I pledge to you loyalty. I will be loyal to you. I pledged for you protection, and I will pledge for you provision forever. And we are the seed of Abraham. Come on, Galatians 3 says, you are the seed of Abraham. We are his seed. We're his offspring spiritually. So God, when he cuts covenant, by the way, covenant is the Hebrew word. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little excited. But covenant is Hebrew word berith, and it means cut and pass. Cut that blood. Why do you think Jesus had to be cut? So the blood would flow. The blood covenant of Jesus Christ, the most powerful thing on the planet. And if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise of faith. Hallelujah. And then the other thing about the smoking oven and the burning torch that came in this covenant. I'll say one word, and you'll know it. Shekinah. That was the Shekinah glory of God. God himself walked through that blood. And that same Shekinah was in the temple, the holy temple. And if you weren't right when you walked into Shekinah, you'd dead meat. Right? You weren't, it wasn't perfect. You had to be perfect. That'd be a perfect deal, right? So that's the symbol of it. Because you read that at first and go, what's he talking about? Smoking oven, burning torch. Passed between those pieces, and on that same day, the Lord cut covenant with Abram. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. Everyone say all. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Why do we bless the Lord the way we do here? We're kind of nuts. I like that. I like being nuts in worship, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits of loyalty and protection and provision. So down the road, when I say, what are the three oaths of the blood covenant? You'll look at me and say, Pastor, it's loyalty and it's protection and provision. LPP, not liquid propane. LPP. Loyalty, protection, and provision. Hallelujah. Let's go on his benefits. Let's look at verse 3. Who forgives your iniquities? Aren't you thankful? God doesn't condemn, he forgives. I'm thankful he heals some of my diseases. Yeah. Come on, let's run in this. Let's run in this. A lot of health and healing in here. A lot of people in this house have been touched by the healing power of God. Let's go to verse 4. And he redeems our life from destruction. How did he do it? He did it with the precious sacrifice of the blood of a perfect paschal lamb. Hallelujah. And then you know what he did with that? Then he takes us and he crowns us with his loving kindness and his mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And then he satisfies our mouth. He satisfies our life with good things so that we're renewed like an eagle. Hallelujah. 85 years old, and he goes down and he builds churches in Central America. You're an inspiration to me, Ron. Hallelujah. And Joe walks the planet, just walks the planet, fearless, walking the planet. We can go, we can do this. We can run. We can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not be faint. Amen? We can do this, church. We've got it. We've got the anointing. We've got the blood covenant of loyalty and protection and provision. We've got it. It's already here. We just have to walk in it. Amen? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for a fresh anointing on each and every one of us, Lord. As we are in covenant with God, no matter what the world does, no matter what the politicians do, no matter what the business people do, no matter what all those big names do, what matters is we are in covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universes. Hallelujah. And you love us and we love you. So God, in these upcoming days and weeks and months, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You and me, the church. Hallelujah. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, the renewing of our minds so we can understand what we hear. Instead of when we hear it, just kind of scratch it, and I'm not sure about that. Okay, we need to have a renewed mind so we can understand what we hear. And then, Lord, give us itchy feet. Give us itchy feet so we can walk out what we've heard, what we've understood, and what we're going to walk out. That was good. Good point, Michael. Thank you. So, Father, we bless you and we praise you. And Lord, as we go forth from this place today, let's walk in the fire. Walk in a greater level of fire than ever before. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go and serve the Lord. Have a great week.